Hey, good morning. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Chavtes. This is Elisha Breff filling in for Rabbi Leibowitz, who is leaving early this morning to go up to Camp Kehli. I'll be covering for him for about a month. He will generally be giving a shiur while he's up there, hopefully be posting it to YU Torah. I will probably be posting my shiur as well in the event the rabbi's schedule is a little bit uncertain. I'm not sure when exactly he'll be able to post during the day and whether he'll be able to give the shiur every day. So to the extent both he and I post, I certainly recommend that you listen to his shiur. If his shiur is unavailable for whatever reason, hope you enjoy. So today we're going to continue with the discussion of the Mishnah. As you recall, we learned a Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Ches Amud Aleph that seemingly was out of place in this perek, but basically spoke about a guy who made two different types of, two different cases of a somewhat strange nether. The first case was where he said that these netios are going to be usher to me, these trees are going to be usher to me if they're not cut down. And we said yesterday, the Ron explained that he was standing in the middle of a very serious windstorm, so he was saying that if these trees aren't felled during the hurricane or during the windstorm, then they're going to be a carbon to me, or this talus is going to be a carbon to me if it's not burnt. And the Ron explained again that we're dealing with a situation where there was a fire overspreading his area, and he said that the talus should be consecrated like a carbon if it's not burnt. And then the second case, which is what we're going to pick up with the discussion today, is where the guy said, "Arei netios elu karbon ad sheyiktzitzu," that these netios are going to be a karbon until they are burned, and then talazu karbon ad shetisaref, that this talus should be a karbon until such time as it is burned. So the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly he means when he says that these netios should be a karbon until they're burned. So what happens, first of all, what happens until they're burned, and also what happens, or until they're felled, rather, the netio should be a carbon until they fall down, until they're cut down. So what happens before they're cut down, and then what happens after they're cut down? Do they require a pidyon after they're cut down, or does the kedusha leave automatically after they're cut down, because the guy, after all, said that these netio should be a carbon ad sheyiktzitzu, until they're cut down. Therefore, the implication could be that once they're cut down, then they leave their status of kedusha automatically. So we'll see that. The Gemara then is going to draw a distinction, or a possible distinction, between, first of all, we'll start off with two different views as to what that situation is. Then the Gemara is going to draw a possible distinction between kedushas damim and kedushas haguf, something that is physically consecrated versus something that is consecrated only lidameha, as far as whether or not the kedusha will depart immediately. And the Gemara is going to carry that discussion over to Chavtes Amud Beis, where again we're going to have rayas back and forth, where a guy says that an animal should be consecrated as an ola for 30 days and then a shlomim after it becomes an ola, or that it should be consecrated as a shlomim for 30 days and then an ola after that. Whether the first kedusha leaves immediately, we're going to try to bring rayas as to what situation exactly we could be talking about over here, rayas back and forth as to whether the kedusha, as to whether the kedusha could leave immediately. Like the past couple of dafim, this daf is fairly technical and difficult, and we will hopefully make it as easy to understand as possible. So says the Gemara, Chaf Ches Amud Beis, four lines up or five lines up from the bottom of the Amud. So Harei Netios Elu Karbon, again, Ad Sheyiktzitzu, that these Netios should be a Karbon until they are cut down. So says the Gemara, Uliolam, really? Shall they be considered to be a Karbon forever? So says the Ron, what this is basically asking is Perish Betmiya, Klomar Heich Efsher Shlo Yehelam Pidyon Liolam. How can it be that they can never be redeemed? So again, what the Mishnah had said was that if a guy says that these netios should be a carbon until they're cut down, Ein lehem pidyon, they can never be redeemed. Now, what does ein lehem pidyon mean? Ein lehem pidyon could mean two things. Number one, it can mean that they can never be redeemed because they are always kadosh, or it could also mean that they don't have to be redeemed because they're not kadosh at all. So the Ron is understanding that when the Mishnah Mishnah says ein lem pidyon, it means they can never be redeemed. Not that they don't have to be redeemed. So says the Gemara, uliolam, really? They can never be redeemed? Why can they never be redeemed? The guy said that they should be considered to be a karbon only until they are chopped down. So why would it be the case that they can never be redeemed? So says the Gemara like this. So Amar Barpada, so Barpada says that that Padon Chosros Vikochos, Padon Chosros Vikochos, Ad Sheyiktetsu. So basically what this is saying is that when the Mishnah says that they're not redeemed, it means that the redemption is ineffective. The pidyon is ineffective. Why? Because the guy said that they should be considered to be a karbon until the time that they're cut down. So if they're still standing and the guy redeems them, then the hekdesh, the kedusha is chal again automatically. They are considered to be a karbon again automatically because the guy, after all, said that they should be a karbon until such time as they're chopped down. So again, Barpada says that as many times as you redeem them, they keep going back to their previous status of kedusha because you had stipulated that they should be kadosh until they're cut down. So to the extent you redeem them before they're cut down, they retain their status of kedusha. The Baal, the owner, evidences his intent that they remain kadosh until that time. But Barpada says niktesu, once they are chopped down, then podan pam achas vidayo. Then you could be podeh the tree a single time. And then that is sufficient, because what the guy said was that these trees should be kadosh, these trees should retain the status of a karbon until they're cut down. Therefore, before they're cut down, as many times as you redeem them, they go back to their previous status of kedusha, because ye evidence is intent that they should be kadosh until they're cut down. Once they're cut down, all he has to do is redeem them once. He said they should be kadosh until they're cut down. They were already cut down. Redeems them once, then he doesn't have to redeem them again. In other words, they don't become kadosh again. The Ran says again, according to Barpada, in this clause, there's a chiddush as well. And what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that even after they're chopped down, the guy still has to redeem the tree in order for the tree to lose and to leave its status as a karbon. That I would have thought that since the guy stipulated that the tree should remain kadosh until they're cut down, that once the tree is cut down, it should leave its status of kedusha automatically. Kamash Malam, Barpada says, no, nothing is automatic. Basically, after they're cut down, you, through the power of pidyon, can affect can make the tree lose its status of kedusha. However, you do require that initial pidyon after the tree is cut down. But Ula argues. So Ula says Ula on the last line of Chaf Chesam Abeis, Ula Amar Kivan Sheniktetsu Shuv Ein Podan. Ula says that once they are cut down, they don't require a pidyon at all. Why? Because after all, the guy said that these netiyos should be a karbon until they're cut down. The mashmos is once they're cut down, they no longer have the status of a karbon. So if the guy stipulated that once they're cut down, the kedusha should leave him automatically, then in that case, the kedusha does in fact leave automatically. And they don't require a pidyon. They don't require a pidyon after that. So the Ran over here, His very long run at the end of the page, we'll summarize outside, says that he cites a couple of Rishonim trying to explain the machlokas of Barpada and Ula and how exactly they fit with one another. So the Ran cites the Shita of the Rashba that Ula and Barpada only argue about whether pidyon is necessary after the netiyos are cut down. So we saw that Barpada says that even after the netiyos are cut down, they do require one pidyon, but after that they leave their status as kadosh and they no longer become kadosh again. Whereas Ula said, no, they don't even require a pidyon once they're cut down, because the guy had stipulated initially that they should only be kadosh until they're cut down. So the Rashba says that they argue only as to whether there is a required pidyon after the trees are cut down. However, before the time that the trees are cut down, then both Barpada and Ula would agree that as many times as you're podeh the tree, they still automatically become kadosh automatically. They become kadosh again automatically, because after all, the guy had said, harei netiyos elu karbon, ad sheyiktesu, until they're cut down. So if you are poda them before they're cut down, then the hektesh is chal again automatically. So again, according to the Ron citing the Rashba says, the only machlokas barpada and ula is what happens after they're cut down. Barpada says they require one final pidyon. Ula says they don't even require that one final pidyon. They become they leave their status as kadosh automatically. But the Ron then also, towards the bottom here, cites the view of Rav Moshe Kartabi, who says that Ula disputes Barpada's view regarding the initial period as well. So, and again, what the Mishnah had said, the Mishnah had just made a very cryptic comment, that if the guy says, Arena tiyase lu karban ad sheyiktetsu, or the tala should be a karban until it's burnt, ein lahem pidyon. So what does that mean? How are they touching up the line in the Mishnah of ein lahem pidyon? So Ula can touch up the line of ein lahem pidyon, that once they are cut down, ein lahem pidyon, they don't need a pidyon. Not that pidyon is ineffective, the way we explained at the beginning of this year, but ein lahem pidyon, they don't need a pidyon because the Kedusha leaves automatically. And since Ula can say that ein lahem pidyon in the Mishnah means that they don't require a pidyon because the Kedusha leaves automatically, he doesn't have to explain like Barpada did that ein lahem pidyon means the pidyon is not effective. And Barpada explained that the pidyon is not effective during the initial period, that until the time that they're cut down, Barpada said ein lahem pidyon, not that they don't need a pidyon, but that a pidyon doesn't work because the guy already evidenced his intent that the item be kadosh, that the tree be kadosh, until the time that they're cut down. However, Barpada disagrees with Ula, and Barpada says that after the tree is cut down, the tree does require one initial pidyon. Therefore, Barpada can't touch up ein lahem pidyon, meaning that they don't need a pidyon, because Barpada, even after the tree is cut down, says that they do require a pidyon, that they require that initial pidyon in order to leave the status as a kadosh, as a karbon. And therefore, the only way he could say ein lahem pidyon is that the pidyon is ineffective. When's the only time period during which the pidyon is ineffective? It's only during that initial time period. Until the tree is cut down, the pidyon is ineffective, meaning as many times as he's podet, it becomes kadosh again automatically because he already evidenced his intent that it remained kadosh until the time that the tree is cut down. So again, the Ron cites Rav Moshe Kartabi, who says that Ula would disagree with the Shita of Barpada with respect to what happens during that initial time period until the trees are cut down the first time. So says the Gemara, now turning on to Chav Tes Amid Aleph. So Amar Le Rav Amnuna. So Rav Amnuna says, well, according to Ula, again, Ula had said that once the tree is cut down, the Kedusha leaves automatically. The tree does not even require a pidyon. So Kedusha Shabam Leichan Holcha. So where did the Kedusha in the tree go? The guy said that they should be Kadosh until they're cut down. So they're Kadosh until a certain point in time. Don't we require an affirmative action from the owner in order to cause the Kedusha to leave the tree and to depart? So says Rav Amnuna, Uma ilu amar li isha hayom at ishti ulamachar iat ishti. If a guy says to a woman that for today you're going to be my wife, but for tomorrow you're no longer going to be my wife, mi nafka belo get? Can the woman actually leave his rishus without a get? Of course she requires a get. When you marry a woman, you can't stipulate that you're marrying a woman for a certain period of time, and then once that time period is over, then she leaves your rishus without a get automatically. So too over here, when you stipulate that the tree should be kadosh for a certain period of time, you can't stipulate that once that time period is kadosh, once that time period is over, that the kedusha should leave automatically. Just like the woman, in order to leave your rishus, requires a get, so too the tree, in order to leave the status of a kadosh, should also require a pidyon in order to depart that status. So says the Gemara. Well, this is a very interesting comparison. So Amar Le Rava, Mika Madames Kedushas Damim Kedushas Haguf. So can the Gemara really be comparing Kedushas Damim to Kedushas Haguf? So the Gemara is implying that the Kedusha the kedushin of a woman is kedushas haguf. It's something that applies intrinsically to the guf of the woman, that actually transforms the guf of the woman and binds her to the husband, as opposed to the case of the kadosh, of the kedusha in the Mishnah, where the guy said that harena tiyas elu karban, as opposed to the case of consecrating something lekarban, which is only kedushas damim, not kedushas haguf. Because the tree is obviously not an animal, therefore the tree itself is not being brought in the Mizbeach. The Ran says that the whole kasha of the Gemara here is an interesting kasha, because rather than asking how we can compare Kedushas Damim to Kedushas Haguf, the Gemara should have said the Kedushin of a woman, the marriage that requires a get in order to be broken, is not like consecrating something to the Mizbeach at all. So this is even more far afield than Kedusha, than a contrast between Kedushas Damim and Kedushas Haguf. This is a different type of hektish altogether. We'll get to that a little bit on the next Amud. But says Rava, for now, you can't seriously be comparing Kedushas Damim to Kedushas Haguf. And so they're different. Rather, Kedushas Damim paka bechdi, Kedushas Haguf la paka bechdi. That whereas Kedushas Damim can leave automatically, Kedushas Haguf cannot leave automatically. Therefore, you're right, even though the woman, in order to leave the husband's reshus, requires a get, even if you stipulated the marriage should take effect only for a set and defined period of time, even though by Kedushas Haguf that's the rule, by Kedushas Damim, like we have in the Mishnah, where the guy is saying that the tree for its Damim should be consecrated like a karban until the time as the tree is cut down, once the tree is cut down, the Kedushas Damim can depart automatically. So that's the chiluk that the Gemara is now saying. So Amar Le Abaya, says, really? Kedushas Haguf la paka bechti? Rava, you're asking Akasha, how could we be comparing Kedushas Damim and Kedushas Haguf? Obviously, they're different, and even though Kedushas Haguf can't leave automatically, the Kedushas Damim can leave automatically. Abaya is questioning that whole premise. Is it really true that Kedushas Haguf can't leave automatically? But Tanya, but we have an Abraisa, Shorze Ola, if a guy says that this shor should be an ola for a 30-day period, ula achar lamed yom shlamim, and for after 30 days it should be a shlamim. So call, and again, this seemingly, the brisa seemingly is referring to Kedushas Haguf, because he's saying that this animal should be an ola. This animal itself has the Kedushas Haguf as an Ola for 30 days, and after 30 days, it should have the Kedushas Haguf as a Shlamim. So what happens, says the Braisa, Kol Lamed Yom Ola, for the first 30 days, it's an Ola, La'achar Lamed Yom Shlamim, and after 30 days, it is a Karban Shlamim. So says the Gemara, Mai, why Kedushas Haguf Ninu Paka Bechdi? It's a Kedushas Haguf, yet the Kedusha leaves the Kedusha leaves automatically. So why are you drawing a distinction between Kedushas Damim and Kedushas Haguf, with the implication being that only by Kedushas Damim does the Kedusha leave automatically? Over here we have a case where the guy says that for 30 days the animal should be an Ola. After that, the animal should be a Shlamim. And what happens after 30 days? The animal stops being an Ola and it becomes a Shlamim. Why? That's a Kedushas Haguf, yet the Kedusha transfers automatically. So the Ran over here says, again, the Gemara doesn't mean to ask on the case of the guy who marries the woman for a day why she still requires a get, because we understand that even though we're comparing in a sense the case of a woman to the case of a Kedushas Haguf, obviously the case of Kedushin for a woman is still much different, and therefore says the Ran, even if you say that the Kedushas Haguf departs automatically in the case where the guy says the animal should be an Ola for 30 days and a Shlamim for 30 days, even if you say that Kedusha does depart automatically, you would still admit that in the case of a woman where the guy says that you're my wife for a day and then the next day you're not my wife, she would still require a get in any case. There's nobody who says that woman can leave her status of being an Eishes Ish without a get, says the Ran. But in any event, back to our Kasha, How was it that you told me that Kedushas HaGuf never departs automatically, it's only Kedushas Damim that does depart automatically? Here we have a case where there's Kedushas HaGuf and it departs automatically. So says the Gemara, no, this isn't a case of Kedushas HaGuf. Hacha b'maya skinan diyomar l'dami. It doesn't mean that the animal should be an Ola for 30 days and then the animal should be a Shlomim for 30 days. How do you think the animal is going to be an Ola? How could the animal be a Shlomim after it was already an Ola? It's not Kedushas HaGuf at all. It's Kedushas Damim. So in other words, what's the case of Kedushas Damim? Where the guy says, this animal, if I sell it within the first 30 days, then I have to use that money and I have to buy an animal to bring as a carbon Ola. And after the 30 days, for the second 30 days, if I sell the animal during the second period of 30 days, I have to use the money, and I have to use that money to buy a carbon shlomim, which I'm then going to bring on the Mizbeach. The Ran just makes a ara that this Gemara over here must be referring to a case where the animal is a balmum, because the halacha is that if the animal is a tam, if the animal is one that is roy to be brought as a karban, then even if you're makdish the animal only l'damim, it still attains a kedushas haguf, because the only type of thing that you could be makdish the kedushas damim is something that's not otherwise roy to be brought on the mizbeach. If you take something that's roy to be brought on the mizbeach, like an animal that's tam, says the Ran, then even if you try to give that animal only kedushas damim, still it takes on Kedushas HaGuf. But if we're talking about a case of a Balmum where the animal is not fit to be brought as a carbon, then you could be Makdish that carbon, that animal rather, only L'Kedushas Damim. So again, but back in the Gemara, the whole Shakal of Atariya here, the Gemara asks, the Gemara said you can't compare Kedushas Damim to Kedushas HaGuf. It's only Kedushas Damim that departs automatically, Kedushas HaGuf doesn't depart automatically. The Gemara asked the Kasha, we saw in a Braisa where the guy is Makdish the animal for the first 30 days, it's an Ola, for the second 30 days, it's a shlamim, it's mashma that the kedusha does leave automatically from kedushas ola to kedushas shlamim. The Gemara answered, no, even that case is also a case of kedushas damim. That's not a case of kedushas haguf. And since it's kedushas damim, that's why the kedusha leaves automatically, but kedushas haguf wouldn't leave automatically. So says the Gemara, okay, you've answered our kasha, but ihachi ema seifa, but you have to look at the brisa and see whether this interpretation fits in with the brisa. But la'achar lamed yom ola umei achshav shlamim, if you have a flip side, again, the case that we've been dealing with is where you say for 30 days the animal should be an ola, after 30 days it should be the shlamim. The brisa now says if it's the flip side, that if after 30 days it should be an ola, but umei achshav shlamim, where for the first 30 days it should be a shlamim and then it should be an ola, so says the Gemara like this. I amrit b'shlama chada b'kedushas haguf v'chada b'kedushas damim. If you want to say that one clause of the brisa was talking about kedushas haguf, and the other case, the other clause of the brisa was talking about where there was kedushas damim, sahainu d'isrich le'tana le'misneitarte. That's why the Tana has to tell me explicitly both cases. Both the case where it's an Ola, where the guy says it should be an Ola for 30 days and afterwards it should be a Shlamim, and the case where the guy said it should be a Shlamim for 30 days and afterwards it should be an Ola. Because one case is telling me about a situation where there's only Kedushas HaGuf, where there's only Kedushas Damim rather, and the other case is telling me a situation where there's not only Kedushas Damim but also Kedushas HaGuf. The Salka Daita Chamina, because the Chiddush is, again, the Havamina is that Kedushas HaGuf lo paka bechdi, but Kedushas Damim paka bechdi, that a Kedushas HaGuf does not depart automatically, it's only a Kedushas Damim that does depart automatically. Hamatu lahachi tanatarti. Therefore, we have the Brisa teaching me both cases, both the case where the guy says first it should be an Ola for 30 days, then a Shlamim, and the case where the guy says first it should be a Shlamim for 30 days, then it should be an Ola, to teach me that whether it be a case of Kedushas Damim or a case of Kedushas HaGuf, in either case, the animal loses its first status of Kedusha automatically when the 30-day period expires. Because both in the case of Kedushas Damim and in the case of Kedushas HaGuf, the kedusha can depart automatically. But ela iamrit idi v'idi kedushas damim. But if you want to touch up that the entire brisa is talking about kedushas damim, because by kedushas aguf, in fact, the kedusha would not be paka automatically. But if both the resha and the sefer are kedushas damim, so lamili lemisne tarte. So why do you have to tell me both the case where the guy says the animal should be an ola for 30 days, then it should be a shlamim, and the case where the guy says that the animal should be a shlamim for 30 days and an ola, and then an ola? Sahashta yesh lomer mekdusha chamura lekdusha kala paka mekdusha kala lekdusha chamura tzricha lemeimar. The resha of this brisa was where the guy said that it should be an ola for 30 days and then a shlamim. That's going from a kedusha. That's going from a kedusha chamura to a kedusha kala, to a kedusha kala, from a chomer kedusha to a lesser kedusha. Why? Because the Ran explains that an ola is kachay kachim and a shlamim is kachim kalim. So in the resha you've taught me that if a guy says that for the first 30 days an animal should be an ola or ladamim, the animal should have kedushas damim as an ola, and then for the second 30 days it has kedushas damim as a shlamim, the brisa has already told me that automatically the greater kedusha of ola departs automatically, and then the animal goes down to the lesser kedusha of shlamim. So once the brisa has told me that the more stringent kedusha of ola can depart automatically, what do I need the seifa for? The seifa was a case where the guy says for 30 days the animal should be a shlamim, then it should be an ola. That would be malam bakodesh. That would be stepping up in the level of kedusha, because for the first 30 days it has a status of a karban shlamim, which is only kachim kalim. Then it's going to have the status of a karban ola, which is kachay kachim. But I already know that it automatically goes from one kedusha to the other, because you even told me in the resha that it goes down automatically. So if it goes down automatically, surely it could go up automatically. So the Gemara's kasha is, if both cases are talking about kedushas damim, what's the chiddush? Why do I need the seifa where you're telling me about a case where it goes from a shlamim to an ola? I already know that could work automatically. If it can go from an ola to a shlamim automatically, kol shkein it could go from a shlamim to an ola automatically. So says the Gemara, lema tavi tufta de barpada. So let's say that this is a tufta to barpada, diamar lo paka kedusha bichti, who says that the kedusha doesn't leave automatically. Why? Because again, barpada was the first shita that we had today, and barpada, just to recap, the Mishnah had said that the Mishnah had been discussing a case where the guy said that these netiyos should be kadosh until they're cut down. So what happens? Ein lem pidyon. And we saw that Barpada had said that ein lem pidyon means that a pidyon is ineffective. That if you are poda them before the time that the trees are cut down, they automatically regain their status of kedusha, because the guy had stipulated that they should be kadosh until the time that they're cut down. Once they're cut down, however, Barpada had said they do require an initial pidyon, but once you make that initial pidyon works. Once you poda them, they don't become kadosh again. Ula had argued on Barpada, and Ula had said that once they are cut down, they don't require a pidyon at all, because after all, you had said that they should require that they're kadosh only until they're cut down. But basically what we're saying here. Is that we're talking where one case is a kedushas damim, the other case is a kedushas aguf, and the chiddush here is that both in the case of kedushas damim and in the case of kedushas aguf, once the time period is over, the kedusha leaves automatically. If the kedusha leaves automatically, it's a kasha and barpada, because barpada says the kedusha doesn't leave automatically, and even after the tree is cut down, you do require that first pidyon. So says the Gemara, Amar Rapapa, Amar Lecha Barpada. Barpada will say like this: Hachi Kamar, Imlo Amar Me'achshav Shlamim. That if he didn't say that the animal is now a shlamim, La Achar Lamid Yom Ola Ola Have, then after 30 days it would become an Ola. So in other words, so the Ran explains like this. that Barpada understands the Braisa to be talking about a hypothetical case. In other words, the animal would have become an Ola after 30 days had it not been invested with the sanctity, with the Kedusha of the Shlomim now. However, once the animal has been consecrated with the Kedusha Shlomim now, that Kedusha does not depart automatically after 30 days. So in other words, when we had in the Sefer over here, that la'achar lamed yom ola ume achshav shlamim, Barpada understands this not to be talking about a case where there actually is a korban, the kedusha of shlamim now, but a case where there is no kedusha of shlamim now. That if there is no kedusha of shlamim now, then you could stipulate that the animal should attain the kedusha of an ola after 30 days. In other words, this is the principle of deferred kedusha. It doesn't become kadosh right now, it becomes kadosh after 30 days, according to your stipulation. But, according to Barpada, if the animal did have the kedusha of a carbon shlamim right now, then that kedusha would not depart automatically to make way for the kedusha of a carbon ola after the 30-day period, because the kedusha is not paka automatically, according to Barpada. That's Barpada l'shitaso. The Ron explains the chiddush here is that the sanctity of the shlamim doesn't depart automatically, even to make way for the greater sanctity of the Karban Ola, and even though we mentioned the sanctity of the Ola at the same time, in other words, I would have thought over here the guy is pre-stipulating that the Kedusha should take effect in stages. He's making a stipulation at the beginning, at the outset, that the animal become a Shlomim for 30 days and then it should become an Ola. So I have two reasons why I would have thought that the Ola sanctity takes effect automatically. Number one, because to go from a Shlomim to an Ola is to go from a lesser Kedusha to a greater Kedusha, so I would have a Havamina that should do so automatically. And number two, because the guy standing here on day one and stipulating that on day 31 it should become an Ola, I would have thought for sure it would work and it goes from a Shlomim to an Ola automatically. The Ran says, Kamash Malon, not that the Kedusha, once the animal is invested with any status of Kedusha, that Kedusha does not depart automatically. And says the Gemara, Mide Dahavi, just like, now we're bringing this as a raya, Mide Dahavi, Omer Leisha Eskachili La'achar Lamed Yom, Demekudeshes. That, Demekudeshes. Just like where a guy says to a woman that I want you to be mekudeshes to me after 30 days, then she is mekudeshes after 30 days. Va'afal pishin is achlu hamos. And even though the money is no longer there after 30 days, because he gave her the money on day one, we don't require that the money still be extant on day 30 when the kedushin actually takes effect. And in other words, now Barpada is making a dimion to the case where the guy says to a woman, I'm giving you most kedushin today on the condition that you are mekudeshes to me lachar lamed yom, because Barpada understands this braisa as saying that if it were not that the animal were invested with the sanctity of the shlamim, then the stipulation that it become an ola after 30 days would work. So in other words, that's basically like saying the animal is not kadosh for the first 30 days until day 30 when it achieves the status of kedusha as an ola. So that's like a case where the guy gives the woman most kedushin and says, you should become mekudeshes to me after 30 days. So says the Gemara, is that really true? Hani chalamandi amar ena chozeres. Elamandi amar chozeres, maikalamemar. That works according to the Mandi Amar, who says that ena chozeres, that the woman can't retract during this time period, that the woman is locked in, she can't retract from this kedushin. But according to the Mandi Amar, who says chozeres, samaikalamemar. But according to the Mandi Amar, who says that if the guy gives the woman most kedushin today and says that this kedushin should take effect after 30 days, according to the Mandi Amar, who says that the woman can retract, so why then can I stand on day one and say that the animal should become vested with the Kedushas Ola on day 30?
where's the template to tell me that a guy could stand on day one and make a Kedusha that's deferred until the later time? Not from the case of Kedushin, because from the case of Kedushin, we see that the woman could back out during the whole 30-day period. And if the woman could back out during the whole 30-day period, then his stipulation on day one is obviously not effective. So says the Gemara, Sahacha Shani, Dami Rosa Legvoa, Kamisiroso. Over here it's different, because over here we're dealing not with Kedushay Isha, we're not dealing with Kedushay Isha, we're dealing with Hektish. Hektish is Amiroso Legvoa, you're consecrating something Legvoa to Hektish. And there's a principle of Amiroso Legvoa, Kemisiroso LeHektish Dami, that the Amira to Gavoa, the verbal commitment that something become Kadosh after 30 days is stronger than your ordinary verbal commitment. And therefore, even though your ordinary verbal commitment by the case of the woman may not be binding, your verbal commitment by the case of Hektish is binding. So the Ron asks, why this is the case? Since the Kedusha was only to take effect after 30 days, then even if it's like an actual transfer, the transfer should be rescindable because it's not to take effect until after 30 days. So in other words, you could say, I mean, Russell Legvah can be Russell Ahedya Dummy as much as you want, but still, you stipulated yourself that the Kedusha shouldn't be Chal until after 30 days. So before 30 days, ask the Ron, why can't you back out? So the Ron answers that the Amira of a Kedusha L'achar Zman is even more powerful than a regular deferred transfer to a private person. Because by Amirosa Legvoa, what we're saying is, it's as if the guy said that the transfer should take effect retroactively. It's as if the guy said that this animal should become Kadosh, not La'achar Lamed Yom, but Me'achshav U'La'achar Lamed Yom. And because it's as if he said that the animal should become kadosh me'achshav u'la'achar lamed yom, he can't retract the stipulation even during the 30-day window, because after all the guy said that the kedusha should take effect now me'achshav. Okay, so we'll end here. We'll pick up with the continuation of this discussion in the Gemara tomorrow, God willing.